multiple clients. The idea of an audio producer, audio consumer pattern, so clients can take both these roles explicitly. This is something which then once the bridging between native Jack and JavaRhythm JJack is done, is then completely modeled inside Java with normal object-oriented Java. It's also compatible to the Java Beans mechanism. So this is one example where you can see a combined JJack client, that means the application in the right up there, actually consists of multiple individual JJack clients that are combined to one big client, and they appear as one native Jack client to the Jack system, as you can see here in the QJCDL window. But internally to the general virtual machine, it's a combination of multiple individual clients. Yeah, this is an example of how the bean compatible connection mechanism can be used. The bean builder application is something that is available from Sun for free. It's a small development environment for creating Java beans, and this can be simply extended to connect JJack clients this way. Yeah, in the end, I want to give some real world. Some real world examples, and there's the music sequence of Finica, which is licensed under the GPL and available at finica.com. And it's an entirely Java written music sequencer which implements the abstract model that is suggested by the JavaX Sound MIDI package. And it can either use JJack on systems on which Jack is available, or use the internal Java Sound API for its audio I/O. So you can choose with that application. This is how it looks like. That's a preview of the upcoming Finica 0.4 version, which already looks very different than the current 0.3 version. It made a lot of progress recently. So I think it's going to be a nice application soon. Yeah, let me say one word of how this internally is implemented. Luckily, there are some additions since JDK 1.4 by means of this newer O API that has been added to Java. And this introduces this concept of direct byte buffers, which then can also be direct int buffers, direct float buffers. Generally, the idea of direct byte buffers is to map an existing memory block of physical memory into the Java world and make it accessible as a Java object. So you know that Java usually is an abstraction from those hardware close ideas like physical memory. Java usually doesn't know physical memory. But by introducing this new IO library, they open the back door kind of to actually map existing blocks of memory into the Java world. And that means that the blocks of memory that the Jack server provides to us as input and output float arrays for processing, first doesn't need to be converted in some way, because Java's float format is the same as the native float format. And it doesn't even need to be copied. Those memory areas don't even need to be copied, because in the implementation, the existing memory block as passed from the Jack server is just mapped to the direct byte buffer and then to the direct float buffer which makes the float values available to Java. So this is quite efficient. And this is the reason, of course, why for running JJack you need JDK 1.4 or above. Yeah, this is even more detailed, the way how processing works. If you're familiar with the JNI, the Java Native Interface, might recognize these things. The process function, the native process function here, gets called by the JAC processing thread inside the JAC processing loop by the JAC server. And then the current thread, which is the JAC processing thread, has to be attached to the Java virtual machine in order to make the Java virtual machine features accessible to this thread and make the upcoming functions callable. Then this, as I said, the byte buffer object is natively instantiated, which is a Java object later available inside the Java virtual machine, but with calling the function new direct byte buffer, it gets natively instantiated at that point and encapsulates those areas of memory as float buffers. And then with call static void method, the whole thing branches into the Java virtual machine and then everything goes on in Java. I've just collected a few points for comparing JJAC with internally shipped Java Sound API. I think this list is not complete, but you can think of some aspects like interoperability, for example. There you can clearly state that JJAC offers far more interoperability because it is based on JAC, and JAC has this inherent idea of audio clients that are connected to each other with virtual cables. So this is something that is not easily achievable with the Java Sound API. I've done some measuring on timing latency. This is included in the sheets if you download them as an appendix in the end. I'm not going to present this. I had different results depending on different operating systems and different audio hardware used and different Java versions. So it's very diverse. You cannot say that either JJAC with the underlying JAC system has a low latency or using the Java Sound API directly. It really depends on OS hardware and even on the Java version. Real-time capabilities should be usable with JJAC. This is not fully tested, but it should be possible that the processing thread that runs through the Java virtual machine can be in real-time mode. What's not resolved yet is the question whether garbage collection of the Java virtual machine might disturb this. I have to do to look into this a bit more. Might be, might not be, I don't know yet. For running Java Sound in real-time mode, you can expect that you have to run the whole Java virtual machine real-time thread, otherwise you won't be able to do that. Yeah, the architecture of JJAC and Java Sound inherently differ because JJAC implements a pull architecture. The JAC thread calls the process function and then requests the application to process the audio data, while the Java Sound API expects the application to push audio data on time, in time before it's too late to output it to the audio output channel. So it's a completely different approach here. And I think for issues of latency and real time issues, I think the pull architecture is more appropriate for audio processing. The data format is different as used between JJAC and Java Sound API, because Java Sound API simply uses a 16-bit integer audio data, and JJAC, as JAC does, uses float values, which becomes first might provide a better audio quality because you don't have any aliasing effects between multiple conversions between float and int again. And as you can think of having multiple clients connected to each other, you even save time of subsequent conversion between different formats if you stick to float in the whole processing loop. So at least when you start connecting multiple clients with each other, then the float approach might even be more efficient in terms of time consuming. The number of channels that are available to a JJAC client is exactly the number of channels that is configured in the JAC system. And the JAC system is very flexible in doing these things. You can, I think, even combine multiple audio output hardwares to virtually multi-channel buses. So this is not restricted by JJAC in any way. It's just you just use the JAC configuration, and the JAC sound API models this in more hardware close way. Yeah, the underlying operating system for JJAC, of course, requires an operating system which supports JAC. So that's currently, I think, Linux on that. I've recently read on some mailing list that someone compiled JAC for Windows 2. I don't know if it's available now for Windows.
JAC DMP.
Yeah, it
should work.
Fine. So would then be an issue one day to test JJAC on Windows running on that. But I haven't done it yet. Yeah, there are some future plans. Currently, the people who develop the Finica application, as I've seen in their CVS repository, they are doing some additions to JJAC, and some of these additions have already become part of the JJAC CVS repository currently. As I've also already said, I want to examine those garbage collection issues more closely. I haven't done that yet. I don't know if when the Java virtual machine decides to perform garbage collection, if really all threads that run through it are stopped. Someone said that, I found it in the net somewhere, that garbage collection always implies that all threads running through the Java virtual machine, that means that being attached to the JVM at that time will be stopped, and that would be a problem if the JAC processing thread is attached at that time to the Java virtual machine. But it's just, I don't know if this is a problem, it has to be examined. There are some developments going on with JAC MIDI, which I also haven't looked closely at, but it sounds interesting. If JAC one day will be capable of MIDI 2, then that would be then maybe another aspect to add to JJAC 2. To give a short conclusion, I think JJAC enables, as no other approach that I know by now, interconnectability of audio clients written in Java. This is not possible in that flexible way with, for example, the Java Sound API, but it's inherent to JAC, so it's something that naturally comes with JJAC 2. I think the architecture of JAC and thus JJAC is more specific to audio processing, like for example the pull approach and using float values throughout the whole processing loop. I think this is more elegant than a push approach or using integer values, so the architecture can be expected to be more suitable for more complex audio processing too. As I've said, there may be some performance gains by using JAC as compared to other sound APIs, depending on the system. And in general, you can say that JJAC is some serious alternative to the Java Sound API to be considered. But there may be situations in which JJAC should be used instead, and there may be others. Yes, thank you.
Could you go back to that slide where you had the screen being displayed by the traveling numbers?
this one? This is actually wrapped inside an if statement which tests if attached current thread has been called before. But I cut this out to get it more brief here. Yes. It works. I don't know what the specification then says, but we have tested this and so far it works by only calling it once and then just testing whether the thread is already attached. No, but anyway, there wouldn't be a check if there is a lot of overhead induced by the Java native interface. There wouldn't be a good chance to get rid of that. So you just have to trust the some guys or the implementers of the JVM that they do this as quickly as possible.
One
in the native part, I think in this example, in the C, the blue ribbon part has the native, has the integer return value. You mean it's actually void? It's a mistake here, maybe. So you think there is a return statement missing in the end? Should be able to return that value to as the example shows, the native part is an int function and the Java part is the void function. Yes, maybe this is because I haven't understood what the return function for the JEC native process function is for.
It should not be easier.
If it's something important, it's not too hard to edit in that. We can have a look at the source code right afterwards. It does run with threads that are the idea of the garbage collection which might stop the threat. I don't know yet. Something like, which in this short example was also indicated by a parameter from GUI, that would be such a call which you would expect. It should be, I don't know. It's still subject to be tested. Thank you.
ist ja dann gar nicht richtig hochgekommen. Also der hat versucht, den Client anzumelden und gleich am Anfang hat er.
Achso, schon gleich am Anfang, wenn die ganze Scheiße erstmal eingeladen werden muss.
Ja, dann gleich noch ein Fall. Also es ist noch nicht 100% stabil alles, aber.
Und die Qualität ist lieber.
Ja, hallo? Ah, hi, tut mir leid, dass ich dich mal wegdrücken musste, aber es war mit dem Vortrag und ich kann nicht so schnell rausgehen. Was gibt's? Mhm. Hast du mal den Stream ansehen können?
Auch.
Gut. Ja, fantastisch. Ist es dir gelungen, irgendwie ein Netzwerkkabel da vernünftig schon mal runterzubringen? Ach, schade. Aus Maschinengründen. Erstens mal, weil ich dann auch coole Atmo und Soundfield gehabt hätte, wenn die in der Mitte gestanden hätten und es wäre einfacher zu filmen gewesen. Ach so. Also sprich, es wird auf die Wand projiziert, wo es auch vorgesehen ist. Mhm. Ah ja, sehr gut. Super. Und das Soundfield-Kabel, das ist relativ lang. Ich schätze 20. Das passt schon. Und Recursive Dog, die spielen in der Mitte aber trotzdem. Mhm, war schön. Aber das ist ja eigentlich optimal. Super. Ja, ich habe mich bemüht, möglichst zu kommen. Das ist ja, ich weiß nicht, mehr so ein Verkehr. Also muss ich ja mal mit Andreas noch sprechen. Aber dann sollte das ziemlich geil werden. Also, es ist so, wenn wir hier, ich mal am Kanten gucken, wenn wir hier nach Plan durchkommen, dann ist hier 16.30 Uhr Schicht im Schacht. Das Blöde ist nur, dass gerade der letzte Referent über eine Standleitung reinkommt. Das ist Andres Cabrera aus Brasilien. Und es kann sein, wenn das am Anfang nicht steht, hier eine Viertelstunde, da eine Viertelstunde, du weißt, wie das läuft.